around the world to around the block. This is a 77-second news update from the RSESolutions.com news desk.
I'm Frank Morano. One of the 14 people shot in a mass shooting in Austin this weekend is dead. Austin Police Department identified the victim as 25-year-old Douglas Cantor. At least one other victim was in critical condition. Police have arrested one suspect, and another suspect is still on the loose. It looks like the border between the U.S. and Canada will stay closed for now. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said he and President Biden hadn't reached a deal on easing border restriction. Trudeau explained that Canada needs to vaccinate more people before the ban on non-essential travel can be lifted. A Maine senator on the team of bipartisan infrastructure negotiators says the agreement reached focuses on traditional infrastructure. On CBS's Face the Nation, Republican Senator Susan Collins says right now there's no gas tax increase as part of the fundraising effort of the legislation. The pay-fors right now include implementing an infrastructure financing authority, which Collins says was a bipartisan idea. A Texas House member says President Biden's upcoming summit with Vladimir Putin comes at a high cost for the U.S. On ABC's This Week, Republican Michael McCaul says allowing the Nord Stream 2 pipeline to proceed from Russia into Europe is not in America's best interest. He also noted that Russia hasn't paid enough of a penalty for allowing the colonial pipeline hack on the U.S. That's your 77-second news update from the RSCSolutions.com news desk, where Mark Arzamanian will put you to work. I'm Frank Morano on 77 WABC. The Other Side of Midnight continues straight ahead.
Talk Radio 77 WABC. Bernie and Sid in the morning.
It would be kind of silly for me to be yelling at people to wear your mask on the subway when, in fact, yesterday, my partner Bernie called me out on the show and said, well, you wear a mask on the subway. And I said, no, I don't. So what did I do yesterday?
He tweeted me a picture of himself on the subway not wearing a mask. I actually tweeted back. I said, the car is empty like your thick skull.
Bernie and Sid in the morning, weekdays, 6:30 to 10. Listen on the 77 WABC mobile app.
Gold and silver prices are at an all-time high. If you have any gold, silver, or platinum coins, bullion, Franklin mint items, diamonds, jewelry, art, antiques, paintings, French furniture, or any Tiffany items, sterling flatware, Judaica, oriental rugs, older baseball cards, sports and entertainment memorabilia, watches, especially better watches, such as Rolex, Patek Philippe, Vacheron, Tiffany, IWC, Cartier, Bulgari, just to name a few. They will buy them all at the highest cash prices, in any condition, even broken. They also need any designer jewelry, such as Cartier, Tiffany, Buccellati, Van Cleef, Harry Winston, and Bulgari. Now is the time to cash out at the world-famous APR 57 Gallery on 57th Street in New York City, across from Carnegie Hall. They can also come to your home and do certified insurance appraisals. So if you have anything of value, call them for a free appraisal and high cash offer at 212-246-2000. That's 212-246-2000. Or toll-free at 1-800-772-0054.
This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
Talk Radio 77 WABC. Now, here's Frank Morano.
This is The Other Side of Midnight. Good morning. It's Frank Morano here. It's Monday morning. Flag Day. Hopefully you're celebrating Flag Day the right way. Other than putting out a flag, I'm not really sure what you're supposed to do, but hopefully whatever you're doing, you're getting into the spirit of the holiday. So recently, I had the opportunity to be an eyewitness to a conversation between two fascinating individuals who come from different walks of life, different ages, different ethnic backgrounds, different educational backgrounds, different professional backgrounds, and different outlooks on life. And I was so captivated watching these two gentlemen hash out world events and things that were happening from the mundane to the super serious. I thought, well, it might be fun to have the two of them on the radio together. So let me welcome both of the guests that are going to be joining us for this hour. First, Sherrod Small, very well-known stand-up comic and the host of the podcast Race Wars. Sherrod, yes. Good morning. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Frankie. I'm happy to be here.
Very quickly, tell folks about Race Wars. What's that all about?
Well, we talk about pretty much everything under the sun, but we focus on race and, like, you know, trying to bring people together. So we have everybody on the show from Ann Coulter to Artie Lang. And just trying to, you know, find some middle ground with people.
Can't help but notice I've never been invited on that particular program.
Yeah, I need you on there. Anytime.
You rarely, I heard Howard Stern say this recently, you rarely end up in a better place by commenting on race. I'm sure I'd come on and say something that's going to get me in trouble.
No, it's a safe place. I'm telling you, it's like a safe haven where you're going to say, speak freely. It's like it's all come from love.
All right, well, I'll throw the N-word around liberally then once I get on there. How do people listen to it?
They go to patreon.com/racewars.
Race Wars. Right, and now you've been around a while as a comic.
Yes, sir.
You've done a lot of things. People might have seen you on television or some of the other things that you've done. And if people want to learn more about you or your background to see you, they can go to smallworldcomedy.com.
That's right. That's the website.
And I also want to welcome back a gentleman who I've been lucky enough to interview before, one of the brightest legal minds in the country today. He is the host of the radio show For the People. He is a retired California Superior Court judge and author of the book From the Trench to the Bench, Navigating the Legal System and Finding Your Spiritual Path Along the Way, Judge Herb Dodell from the Left Coast. Judge Dodell, it's great to talk with you again. Thanks for staying up late with us.
It's like the middle of the night for you guys.
Yeah.
Well, it's morning for us. It's middle of the night for you, but we're all sleep deprived regardless, whether it's morning or evening. It's great to talk with you both. So, Judge, let me begin with you. I saw this article this weekend, which really I found really interesting from a legal perspective. And before we get and you know what, we'll take your questions. If people want to call in for Sherrod and the judge, they're ready to take on any issue in the news, any legal issue, any cultural issue, any race issue, you name it. These guys are ready to tackle it. If you have questions, 800-848-9222, 1-800-848-WABC. But this is a story that really caught my mind, Judge. A judge dismisses a Houston, or as we New Yorkers like to say, Houston, hospital workers lawsuit over this vaccine mandate. So a federal judge in Texas dismissed this lawsuit brought by employees of Houston Methodist Hospital.
117 nurses
who challenged the hospital's COVID vaccination requirements. So before we bring Sherrod in, Judge, give me your take from a legal perspective. Was Judge Hughes's ruling in this case, striking down this lawsuit, was that sound on a legal basis?
Well, I haven't read all the papers and the briefs that were filed in connection with the case, so I shouldn't really comment necessarily on the factual basis. But it brings to play a very common question. People ask me all the time, can the government force us to take a vaccination?
Right.
And the answer is maybe. But they don't do it in a direct way. They basically say, if you don't take the vaccination, you can't get into the ballgame or whatever it is. So you're left with a choice. But the question, the underlying question is, can they force you to take a vaccination? And the answer is, there's really no definitive answer. And I suppose it depends on the circumstances. If you look at the Constitution, and I always look at the Constitution, if you look at the preamble, it says states, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. That's pretty broad language.
Right.
So what one could certainly argue, and I guess it really depends on what judge you get, too, certainly could argue that this is to ensure domestic tranquility because of the risk of not being vaccinated, and certainly is to promote the general welfare of the country. Can they force you to? It's almost analogous to what's going on with regard to criminal arrests, search and seizure issues. Oftentimes, the police are going to want to take a DNA sample. Can they force you to do that? In some cases, yes, they can. By statute, the officers are allowed to do that. They do it pretty much in drunk driving cases, or what you oftentimes hear is a DUI. Happens all the time.
So let me, Judge, let me bring in Sherrod on the issue of mandatory vaccinations in general and this Houston case specifically. Sherrod, what was your take?
It was fascinating to see that the judge just immediately shot down their comparison to the Nazi Germany thing, because she even spoke about that in her brief.
The plaintiff,
yes, and she just said it was just a bad idea to even take that route, because you're not being coerced, you're not being forced by Methodist Hospital. It's like they doing this for the safety of the patients and the employees. So that's why I think they just threw it out. I thought it was silly. Simply in the first place.
So you don't think that there's anything wrong with an employer mandating that their workers, especially healthcare workers, get vaccinated?
I don't think so. And I don't think that they were like trying to use them as experiments at the beginning of all this. I think they were trying to make it healthy and safe for all the people coming into the hospital.
Well, what if they were to do, and I don't know the particulars of this Houston Methodist Hospital policy here, but it does appear that if you've had the disease and recovered from it,
right,
you have immunity for some time, maybe even a lifetime. What if you had a nurse that had the disease,
right,
recovered from it, has immunity, and doesn't want to take the vaccine? Why should that person be forced to take the vaccine just to keep their job?
Well, I think they can still catch the disease if they have the antibodies. And plus, you can be an asymptomatic carrier of it even without, you know, with the antibodies. So I think it's just a safer way to do it. But even in, like, comedy clubs now, you got to bring a vaccine card to get in. And into the clubs. And plus, the employees there, they have to get shots before they can return to work. So is that being coerced?
Well, Judge, you talked about the kind of carrot and stick approach that employers and government entities have been utilizing, saying if you want to go to the ball game, you got to get vaccinated. Why do the people that have recovered from this disease not enjoy the same privileges as the vaccinated?
I think that's a distinguishing factor that has to be considered by whoever the judge was.
Yeah.
But the reality is you're giving the employee, because this is an employment issue now, you're giving the employee an option. You're saying, okay, if you take the shots, you can continue to work here. If you don't take the shots, we're going to have to terminate you. So it gets into the real question of what are the legal bases for terminating an employee.
Right.
Can you terminate an employee? And I wanted to talk about, because I thought it would be interesting, about cancel culture, because that's basically what's going on in many places.
Right. I think so far they didn't terminate anyone. I think 176 employees got suspended. So are they just in limbo? How does that work?
That's a distinction without a difference. The fact is that you have to determine whether or not they're being paid, what
right.
their status is, and the rest. But if you make it voluntary, you can continue to work here or not. I think you take the sting out of a lot of the arguments that you must do it. And in cancel culture, when you're talking about that, for example, let's say you're an employer and you've got like 6 or 7 employees, and you're a very far to the left progressive, as they refer to themselves, and you have an employee who is a big Trumper.
Yeah, like the MyPillow guy?
And it bothers you. So you say, you know what? I'm firing you. Can they do that? What do you think, Sherrod?
Should
be able to fire?
I don't think so. I think you have the right to, you know, vote or support whoever you want politically without jeopardizing your job and your employment.
Well, what if, let me give you this scenario, as both of you. What if, for instance, like this is a radio station with a primarily conservative audience, right?
Right.
And, you know, what if there's a radio talk show host that doesn't like Donald Trump, thinks he's the worst president of all time, and they're speaking to an audience that's primarily very pro-Trump? Should that host be able to get fired for his political beliefs and expressing them on the radio?
Well, I think the ratings should tell the tale. I mean, if people are tuning in, then keep him. But if he's not making the ratings, then, yeah, you got to terminate.
Yeah. Judge, is that a view that you share?
Well, I don't look at it from the economic standpoint, but I'm looking at it from a free speech standpoint.
Uh-huh.
You know, the First Amendment is basically under attack right now, more so than I can remember in the recent past. And there's a distinction between free speech and the old expression about yelling fire in a crowded theater, et cetera, et cetera. But the reality is free speech is free speech. And in the Brandenburg versus Ohio case, the United States Supreme Court case, the Supreme Court held you pretty much can't stop people from saying anything, but there are some exceptions. If, in fact, free speech is to incite someone to riot and saying, we'll meet you at the bar at 11 o'clock and bring your flag, or whatever it may be, that's a lot different than just saying the government can be overthrown by force and violence, and you're expressing that as an opinion. So every case is really different. And it was kind of interesting. I just reread today a case in California where I practiced and where I was on the bench. Is a case called Evans versus Evans.
Oh.
And in that case, the husband was a deputy sheriff, and he was trying to get a restraining order against his wife. And let me just preface that by saying, I presided over restraining order cases for about 5 years, so that was where I had a lot of experience. And the question was, she was saying terrible things about him to lots of different people. He wanted to stop her.
Uh-huh.
And so the question was, could he stop her? The court in that case basically said that the order was too broad, but in reading the language, it says if under the right circumstances, if she was threatening to disclose confidential information, for example, she could be enjoined, and that would be permissible. So that kind of leaves the door open factually under what circumstances is a party seeking to do something to curb or to allow for the propagation of free speech. So I think pretty much you're seeing the same thing right now.
How did you rule, though? How did you rule in that case?
I didn't have that case. It wasn't my case.
Oh, it wasn't your case. Okay.
But I will tell you about a couple of my cases because I thought they were very interesting, and I wanted to make this show a little bit more entertaining than just...
Believe me, we appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, I want to tell you a story. We'll get back to the subject in a minute. The story is that clients will call lawyers for all purposes, for all reasons, at all times. And this is a story about a guy who was sentenced to die in the electric chair in South Carolina. Now, that they still use the electric chair in South Carolina. And the execution was scheduled for midnight. At 5 minutes to 12, the phone rings, and it's the client saying, look, they shaved my hair, they gave me a last meal, and they're walking me down the hallway with a minister. What should I do? You know what the answer was?
What's that?
Don't sit down.
That's not bad. With you, Judge, we don't see you coming. We didn't have the rim shot ready.
I prepared a couple of them because I thought they were entertaining. And if the subject came up, I wanted to be able to somehow put a little light on it as opposed to just facts.
In just a minute, I want to ask you both a little bit about social media censorship and where that leaves us.
Right.
As it stands now, President Trump still banned from Facebook and Instagram and various social media platforms. We'll talk about that as well as a number of other issues. We will tackle your questions. If you have questions for Sherrod Small or Judge Herbert Dodell related to legal issues, cultural issues, race issues, you name it, these guys are ready to tackle your questions on anything. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Judge Herb Dodell is a terrific lawyer, one of the best lawyers that I've ever encountered. You know who else is a pretty good lawyer? Any lawyer that you find at the law firm of Angiuli and Gentile. If you have had a workplace injury or an occupational disease that has turned your life upside down, you need to reach out to the law firm of Angiuli and Gentile. These folks will get your work-related medical bills paid. They'll answer the question as to how you live while you're out of work. If you're stressing, if you're up right now because you're stressing about how you're going to pay your bills, give these folks a call because they're experienced. They've been at this for over 35 years. They are workers' compensation specialists. They take the fear out of the workers' compensation process. They're good folks that I know personally, who've represented friends of mine and family members of mine. They'll listen to your concerns and explain how the whole process works in order to get you the medical treatment and the workers' compensation payments that you're entitled to. The lawyers at Angiuli and Gentile have handled thousands of these hearings, and they'll help you walk with confidence. Call them at 888-234-COMP. That's 888-234-COMP. They offer both in-person consultations or contactless video appointments. That's 888-234-COMP, 888-234-2667.
The legal offerings mentioned in this ad are not a guarantee of services and or performance, as each case or matter is different and is judged on its own merits.
Listen at home.
At home.
Enable the 77 WABC Alexa skill today. Say,
play 77 WABC.
Congratulations to our very own Juliet Huddy on winning the Gracie Award for 2021. The Gracies, advancing women in media for six decades. Juliet, congratulations. 77 WABC.
I just want to celebrate.
The perfect gift for Father's Day. An international thriller with elements of romance and detective novels. Years after the death of his gangster father, a young man defies the mob while searching for hidden treasure. Read the international suspense thriller, a detective novel from Jeffrey S. Stevens, Fool's Errand. A perfect gift for Father's Day. New York Trend exclaims Fool's Errand is poignant and entertaining, humorous and exciting, romantic and mysterious. An adventure that explores the relationship between a father and son and the events that will ultimately lead that young man to discover both the treasure and himself. Diane Taylor from Living Las Vegas exclaims, "The book was just pure pleasure." And as readers of this column know, not typically drawn to novels, but Fool's Errand is definitely an exception. Read the international suspense thriller, a detective novel from Jeffrey S. Stevens, Fool's Errand. The perfect gift for Father's Day. Available wherever books are sold.
It's The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano, 77 WABC.
This is The Other Side of Midnight. Those are the Doobie Brothers singing Keeps You Running. Now that New York has legalized recreational marijuana, you'll be seeing a lot more of those Doobies all around town. We're joined for the hour by very well-known stand-up comic and podcast host, Sherrod Small.
You could
Which Doobie you be? From What's Happening.
You can catch him on Race Wars, a very popular podcast, and by Judge Herb Dodell, a retired California Superior Court judge and author of the book From the Trench to the Bench, Navigating the Legal System and Finding Your Spiritual Path Along the Way. Judge, very quickly, what will people learn in your book if they get the book From the Trench to the Bench? What's it all about?
Well, it's basically about how do you deal with the legal system for people who don't know anything about it. Most people think that the legal system works in a particular way. They go to a courtroom, they see the judge on the bench, the bailiff, etc. But they don't know what goes on in the back room. They have no idea what goes on among the judges. They have no idea why judges make rulings that they make. What do you do if you get arrested at 3 o'clock in the morning, and how do you get out? What do you do if you get sued or you have to sue somebody? You need to go to small claims court, you're about to be evicted, whatever. People don't understand the system at all.
I agree.
And many people are really penalized by it. And I tell this story all the time. Sherrod and I have done a number of shows together, so he's already heard the story. This is a very, very famous basketball player, NBA. Got the rings, the whole deal. And I liked him. One day I was sitting in what they call unlawful detainer. Unlawful detainer are foreclosures and evictions. Not my favorite place, but that's what I was sitting in that day. And I was reading the files in chambers before I came out, and the bailiff came in and he said to me, you know who's out there? I said, no, who's out there? I see the list of all the people. I didn't recognize anybody. He said, look at that name. And the minute I looked at it, I recognized who it was. I'm a big basketball fan. I said, oh, is he out there? Yeah. I said, do you have a lawyer? I don't think so. So I came out, and I said to him, do you have a lawyer? He says, no, I don't. Now, I knew from my experience and having been certified in the area that he had a potential defense. He was about to be thrown out of a $7 million house. He was about to be evicted. And I was up to me to decide whether he was going to be evicted or not. And the reality was, I knew he had a potential defense. I knew because I had seen it once before, and I had called the presiding judge to see if I could do it. So I had the authority. And I said to him, is there a reason why you haven't got a lawyer? He says, I just don't have a lawyer. And I couldn't tell him, because you can't give advice to any of the litigants, you know. Obviously, if you do that, you're choosing sides. So I couldn't tell him that he had a potential defense. So I tried to help him out. He was a nice guy. I tried to help him out. I said, look, I'm going to stay the execution of this for 2 weeks. Come back in 2 weeks, and I suggest you get a lawyer. And so 2 weeks went by. He comes back in. I said, okay, do you have a lawyer? No.
Yeah. So those are the stories. Those are the stories that people can hear in From the Trench to the Bench. Sherrod, let me get your take on what we're seeing now in terms of social media. There's been a lot of criticism of some of the big tech companies. They enjoy this Section 230 protection.
Right.
And there's been a lot of allegations that they're a bit inconsistent in their enforcement of their own guidelines. A lot of supporters of President Trump think that by prohibiting him from being on Facebook, which he's now banned until at least January of 2023, as well as Instagram and Twitter, that is big tech's attempt to put the thumb on the scale of the 2022 elections and the 2024 elections and sort of silent President Trump. Give me your take on social media censorship in general and the Trump situation specifically.
I think it's kind of dangerous, all like that's giving Facebook and Instagram and Twitter all this power. But there are private companies, so they have control over who's using their product. But if you're using their product to incite riots, and this is what they determined that President Trump did, then they have the right to pull you off of there. But it's just confusing to me, because who's making that decision at these companies? Who's in charge of that? It's scary. It's scary to just know that these people hold so much power over what we get to hear now.
Well, some people are saying for that very reason, they should not get to enjoy that Section 230 protection, that Congress should step in and either break them up or regulate them so that they don't get to enjoy that immunity from lawsuits that, say, telephone companies enjoy.
Right. I think I don't know if we're going to go in that direction. I think it's going to stay just like how the telephone companies have it now.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think that we just need to have more insight and transparency on how these decisions are made.
Judge, any thoughts on social media censorship in general and the Trump situation specifically?
Actually, I do, because there are legal principles that are involved. It's not as very simple, just a fact situation. The question really is, if you have a small company, for example, forget about Facebook and Twitter for the moment. Okay. You're a small company, and you want to do certain things a certain way. Does the government have the ability to step in and tell you how to run your business?
Right.
It's a private business. You raise money. Either it's a public company and you raise money in the market, or it's just a privately held company. When does the government have the ability to step in and tell you what to do, because that's 1984.
But we still have like FDA, and we have things like that that still tell companies what to do that the government runs.
Yeah, but that probably comes under this language that I read from the preamble to the Constitution. It's so broad, it depends on who your judges are, because these are appellate issues. And as I was going to say before, you don't know what's going to happen in any particular case. I tell people all the time, when I was practicing full-time, I'd say, okay, who's your judge going to be? And they would say, I have no idea who it is. I said, but do you make any difference? Well, yeah. I said, but you don't know who it is, do you? No. So in other words, you're taking a chance. Judge A is terrific. He loves the world, and he's very generous. Judge B, she's not so terrific. She's nasty and rude and whatever it is. You don't know who you're going to get. It's all about a crapshoot.
But how do you even find out? Where do you get that information? No,
you can't. Although in some cases, when you first file a complaint, they tell you who your judge is going to be, and you have a certain amount of time to disqualify that judge in California. For no reason, you can disqualify one judge, one time only, and it has to be done pretty quick.
Right.
But generally speaking, you don't know anything about those people who are sitting on the bench. You have no clue. Whether I was once accused by my clerk when I was sitting in Beverly Hills, she says, you know, you're a softy, because I gave some lady a couple of weeks extension. I didn't want to throw her out between Christmas and New Year's, so she'd have to live in a car. And so I gave her an additional couple of weeks, which was within my authority. When I was getting off the bench, my clerk said to me, you know, you're a softy. I said, well, maybe I am, and maybe some others would have done something different. She said, you know, our regular judge, because I was sitting in for a guy,
yeah,
She said, our regular judge would never have granted it. I said, well, I'm not your regular judge. I'm the judge for today. And I had the authority to do it, and I'm going to do it. Whether I'm a softy or not makes no difference at the end of the day. And so I tell people all the time, because of the uncertainties in the legal system, and there's uncertainties now as to whether or not the government can control business operations. Then you get into the argument of free speech. Do they have a right to say whatever they want to say? And the cases have been very, very clear. You can pretty much say whatever you want to say. That's the Brandenburg case. As long as you're not inciting violence. That may be one of the reasons that they took him off, because of the Capitol and insurrection and whatever. But each of these cases is going to have a separate fact pattern.
Right. Well, I mean, as of now, I mean, everybody has a right to say what they want. They have free speech rights, but you don't have a right to be on Facebook.
Right.
As Sherrod pointed out, it is a private company. So.
Well, it's an interesting issue, because there's going to be, already has been, discussions about breaking up the big tech companies for just the very same reason. And Sherrod is absolutely right. We usually have very lively conversations. And the bottom line is, you don't know in advance what's going to happen with big tech. And you don't know who's going to be in that room, whether there's even a room. Yeah. A couple of people sitting around saying, I don't like that guy, let's cut him off. That when does it become arbitrary and capricious? Those are the magic words, by the way, arbitrary and capricious.
800-848-WABC. Let me say hello to Larry in Long Island. Larry, what is your question?
How can we get our employees in Congress to follow the basics? For example, the 13th Amendment bans involuntary servitude. Servitude is defined as providing a service or a product, a legal service or a product such as apple pies. Now, when Congress forces people into involuntary servitude, why isn't that banned?
Well, what kind of involuntary servitude are you talking about, Larry? Are you talking about prison or jury service or something else?
Any kind of involuntary servitude. Now, one of my favorites is how a body with a life of 2 years, like Congress, can issue 30-year debt, forcing children into involuntary servitude of the debt payments.
All right. Anybody want to tackle this one? It's above my pay grade.
Take it on, Sherrod. For you.
I think he's right. Dumb Congress coming in for 2 years and sticking out kids with all these bills. Like, we ain't going to leave them with enough bills ourselves as parents.
I'm with you guys on that one, actually. 800-848-9222. We'll continue with your call. Well, I'll squeeze in one more here. E. Frank is in Astoria. Hello, E. Frank.
Yes, I want to ask both gentlemen, do you think there's going to be any form of reform in the judicial system and the court systems in regards to torts, that's civil lawsuits?
Judge?
I don't think so. Too many people have too many interests that are diverse and want to maintain the status quo. That's why a lot of things don't get done. One of the potential solutions, and it's been bandied around before, is term limits.
Yeah.
Because these guys and these gals are interested in one thing when they get elected for the first time. What do you think that is, Sherrod?
Re-election.
Exactly right. They're interested in re-election. And if they think that they're going to get somebody on the other side angry at them and it's going to affect their ability to get re-elected, they ain't going to do it. And these people can't get along, and that's why I'm concerned about where we're heading. Do I think they're going to reform the judicial system? Probably not, unless the Democrats decide, if they have the ability, to pack the court and more justices.
Right.
But that probably is unworkable now, because you have one, the strongest, you know who the strongest senator is right now?
Joe Manchin.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
He holds the power of the United States Senate in his hands. He doesn't go along with the Democrats, they don't get anything passed. If they don't do something with the filibuster,
yeah,
they're not even going to get to 50. Even if they eliminated the filibuster, they still don't have 50 votes. So do I think anything is going to happen? Probably not. These people haven't done anything in 10 years. I don't see them waking up all of a sudden. I think one of the biggest problems, of course, is that the parties are so polarized, that the far left is so far from the far, far right, that they don't know how to compromise.
So what are you?
There's an effort being made now for the infrastructure, but the bottom line is, I don't think they're going to reform anything.
So how do you think all this voting, all the stuff they're doing with these voting laws in all these states are going to affect the courts, or the courts going to affect these decisions?
Well, I did a kind of an analysis myself, just to kind of ask myself the same question. And you look at the Constitution. I'm a strict constructionist when it comes to the Constitution. To me, it says what it says, and that's what we have to follow. And we take an oath to do that. And the reality is that if you look at the Constitution, Article 6, Clause 2, it's called the Supremacy Clause. And if you look at the 10th Amendment, it talks about powers being given to the federal government and the states. So the bottom line is, are elections a state or a federal matter?
Yeah.
Because it's known as preemption. In many situations, if there's a dichotomy between the states and the feds, feds take over because they have priority.
Let me ask you to pause there, Judge. We're going to continue in just a minute with Sherrod Small, comedian and podcast host. You can check out his podcast, Race Wars. You can also listen to Judge Herb Dodell on the For the People radio show. He's also the author of the book, From the Trench to the Bench, Navigating the Legal System and Finding Your Spiritual Path Along the Way. This is The Other Side of Midnight. I'm Frank Moreno. We'll take your calls next. 800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Straight ahead.
New York opinions. New York attitude. You've got a voice. This is Talk Radio 77 WABC. Pharmacists wanted for a retail pharmacy. Process prescriptions and dispense medication. Mail resume, Cafe RX, LLC, 2 Piermont Road, Unit 2, Creskill, New Jersey, 07626. Pharmacists wanted for a retail pharmacy. Process prescriptions and dispense medication. Mail resume, Cafe RX, LLC, 2 Piermont Road, Unit 2, Creskill, New Jersey, 07626.
I remember when we found out we were expecting you and we were so surprised.
You were?
Yep, but then we heard your heartbeat and knew you were going to change our lives.
Hello, I'm Marian Kuharski, the director of Pro-Life Across America. We know that conversations about right to life have become very heated, even angry. We stay away from that political fray. We're non-political and totally educational. We don't scream or scold. Instead, we help people working through unplanned pregnancies know their options. We're here to help both mom and the baby. And we rely on people like you to help with our mission. Please call 1-800-366-7773. Check us out on Facebook, YouTube, or at prolifeacrossamerica.org.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception. Pro-Life Across America,
the Billboard People. Now, a better way to start your day. Due to popular demand, the WABC Early News is now from 5 to 6:30. Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano have news. Traffic on the 7s. Sit on sports at 15 and 45. Business reports. Weather. And the newsmakers. The information you need to start your day from the station you trust. The WABC Early News. 5 to 6:30. Weekday mornings on 77 WABC. ABC.
Frank Morano, 77 WABC.
The Other Side of Midnight. I'm Frank Moreno, joined in studio by comedian and podcaster Sherrod Small.
Yes.
And on the phone from the left coast by retired California Superior Court Judge Herb Dodell. You know, Sherrod, aside from the senator, Sherrod Brown,
yeah.
I've never met anybody in my life or never heard of anyone in my life with the name Sherrod. What kind of name is that?
Just a name. I mean, you know Mike Sherrod. You remember a football player?
Yeah, yeah.
But that was the last name. Yeah, but different. I knew other Sherrods growing up. Like
who are you named for?
I think it's just my mother's imagination.
Interesting.
It's just a name that she enjoyed and she liked, so...
Yeah, it is interesting to me, Judge, that you and Sherrod seem to get along so well. I know you've been on one another's shows,
yeah.
And you kind of do this traveling show of the two of you, this sort of media odd couple. explain to me how this relationship germinated between the two of you.
Well, actually, I was invited on Sherrod's show in New York, and I was on the same, I guess you'd call it a panel, with Ann Coulter. So we've kind of got into conversations, and we found that we had mutual interests. And so one day I invited him to be on my show. When he did, it was kind of lively. We didn't necessarily agree, which we don't always necessarily agree.
Right.
And then I went back and did his show again, and he did my show. So we decided what a great couple we make, because here he is. He's an urban guy, hip, young.
Handsome.
From the city.
Yeah, you notice he didn't mention handsome. I think he omitted that for a reason, clearly.
Versus the older guy, conservative, I suppose, in some ways. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I'm basically a moderate. And right. I would talk about the legal issues, and he would talk about the emotional issues and how he felt about it. And I would ask him questions, kind of loaded questions, actually.
Yeah.
And he would give me an answer, and I would kind of take the opposite view and provide him with legal principles to support whatever the position was. Just devil's advocate. So we got along really well, and we still get along real well. We just did a whole show on the George Floyd trial.
Yeah.
We talked about that. We didn't necessarily agree about some of those things either, but we did. And we kind of like the you're right, it's the odd couple.
Yeah, it's interesting, though.
I think he's Felix.
I'm the clean one. I think, of course, the judge has been the establishment pretty much for a long time. So it's interesting to see his take on, the judicial system and the behind-the-scenes stuff that we don't have access to, that he had access to for decades. And these stories that he has, I'm telling you, some are scary, some are fascinating, and they all insightful.
Well, and you have a fan in my early morning news co-anchor, Juliette Huddy, Sherrod. She
says, yes.
Used to come on with her.
I love
Juliette. All the time.
Yes.
She's a fan of yours as
yes.
well.
Yes, so. I love her. Tell her I said hi.
800-848-9222 if you want to call in with a question or a comment for Judge Dodell and Sherrod Small. 800-848-WABC. We're going to cover a wide variety of issues. I do want to say hello to Russell in White Plains. Russell, what's on your mind?
Well, hi, Judge, and the gentleman, Sherrod. He sounds like a black Sid Rosenberg to us out here.
I can see that, actually.
Yeah, he sounds really interesting.
Sid has been doing a lot of tanning. Sid is actually darker
yes.
than Sherrod.
I'm the light-skinned Sid.
I'm glad to hear you. You have a very interesting voice. I would like to know if the judge or Sherrod could comment on ranked choice voting, because it did come up earlier, and I think it's just the way that people refuse to choose. That's why they like fascists and they like authoritarians to tell them what to do. But in fact, it can be perceived, ranked choice voting can be perceived as voter suppression, because a lot of dumb people, they resent being bystanders, and people like Frank, who are engaged citizens, make others feel like bystanders, and that's you, Charlie.
All right. Anybody want to weigh in? Is ranked choice voting
now, that's
voter
what we're doing
suppression?
In New York? Is that
yes,
what we're doing in New York now? You pick the 1, 2,
yeah,
three,
you rank
four.
Your choices. It's not voter suppression.
I mean,
it's ranking your choice.
But how does that work exactly? Like, so what if you get, like, the most number twos?
Well, you don't even look at the number twos if somebody has a majority. So
right.
if anybody has 50% plus one of first choice votes.
Okay.
That's it. The election's over.
Okay.
Right? If nobody has a majority of first choice votes, then we take the person that had the least number of votes, and everybody that ranked that candidate first, we go to that voter's second choice, and it gets added to the first round.
Whoa.
So now we see, all right, does anybody have a majority now? We take a look. Okay, now someone does. That person's the nominee. But you wouldn't get, if you get the most number twos or the most number threes, that doesn't necessarily mean anything. Unless, it all depends on
if you get
the existing rankings. You
okay,
know?
So do you think it's going to be an issue with New York's mayoral race? Because
well,
I think it is.
I think whoever loses will make sure it's an issue.
It's going to be the last time we do it.
Any thoughts on the caller's question about voter suppression or anything like that?
Well, I can talk about elections because I was asked that question. And by the way, I'm from Tuckahoe, so I'm pretty close to White Plains. If you look at the Constitution, Section 5 says each house shall be the judge of the elections, returns, and qualifications, etc. That sounds like the federal government has an interest. And if you apply the preemption clauses, the supremacy clauses, that would mean that they could, if they could get together with each other, they could override or overrule some of these state laws that are being passed now, which are definitely designed for purposes of suppression.
Yes, the black vote. They're trying to keep the black and brown vote down.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right, because that vote traditionally goes Democratic.
Yeah,
so that's what they're trying to do. That's why these legislators.
Yeah. Well, I want to be clear that has nothing to do with ranked choice voting.
No, I don't know anything about ranked choice because I'm in California.
Well, that puts you in the company of many of the people that call me on a daily basis. All right, a little bit of news.
The Other Side of Midnight proudly presents breaking news.
It is my sad duty to report that actor Ned Beatty, who you may remember from the film Network, the film Deliverance, All the President's Men, even Superman, has passed away, unfortunately, at the age of 83. A prolific acting career that spanned more than four decades and earned him an Oscar nomination for my favorite role that he was ever involved in the movie Network. He has passed away at the age of 83. Sorry to see that. I never got to speak with Mr. Beatty. Never knew Mr. Beatty, but certainly was always a fan of his work. He has passed away at the age of 83. Sherrod, anything you want to add on the passing of Ned Beatty?
He was a great character actor, but I know it's going to be a lot of tweeting of squeal like a pig today.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know
oh,
that's
yeah.
going to be – it's going to light up Twitter.
I know you're out there in Hollywood, Judge. Did you ever have occasion to interact with Ned Beatty?
No, I never did, actually. I was an entertainment lawyer, by the way, for many years in my early part of my career. So I did talk to actors and things like that, but never spoke to Ned Beatty.
We're going to continue with your calls for Judge Herb Dodell and comedian Sherrod Small, 800-848-WABC. Tom is in the Boogie Down Bronx. Tom, what's on your mind?
Well, it's my old complaint. I haven't taught for 1 year in a public school system and then quitting. I wanted to ask the judge's feelings about a comment made by Attorney General former William Barr, and he was asking him about systemic racism, and he says, well, the closest thing I could point to is the public school system, and I agree with him wholeheartedly. The inner cities are predominantly, and I'm from the Bronx, predominantly black and Hispanic, and they are such failing, underperforming schools that you can't even find decent jobs. That's where they're bringing the minimum wage up to 15, a livable wage. Wanted to hear what the judge thinks about that.
All right, Judge,
comment.
You want to start with that one?
But that's endemic across the country. I don't think it's limited to New York City. Public schools never been provided with a lot of money. Teachers have always been vastly underpaid, terribly underpaid.
My mother was a public school teacher for 30, 35 years, and she used to buy books and like pencils and notebooks for all her classes. Like,
that's
the kids just didn't have it.
That's why a lot of people really strive to send their kids to private schools.
Yeah.
Or Catholic schools.
That's what I went
to, a
Catholic school.
A lot of people went to Catholic school because they thought they'd get a better education than they were going to get at PSAT or wherever they were PS 80, by the way, is in the Bronx. And the reality is, unless there's money to be given on a priority basis, very little is going to change. People pick priorities, like building a new road or putting up one thing or another. It's a lot of politics involved here, and there's also a lot of union issues involved here, too.
Right.
And so I think that there's very little likelihood that anything is really going to change with regard to the providing of education.
But the weird thing about New York public schools, too, is that some schools that are public are really great schools and hard to get in. And you can find some of these schools on, like, in more expensive neighborhoods like the Upper West Side, where kids, like parents, fight to get their kids into these public schools. So you can find some great ones, but it's just the it's just too much difference between the good ones and the bad ones and where they located. Because I grew up in Bed-Stuy, I went to PS 137 in Brooklyn. Our school was pretty good, and IS 271. We had good schools, but they weren't great. But we had like community given back to our school, so we had like fundraisers and things like that. But they bought computers and you know equipment for the band and stuff like that. So it had to be like a grassroots thing to supplement what we weren't getting from the city.
Well, there's some very good schools in the Bronx. I don't know if the Bronx Science
High School of Science. That's still there.
Yeah.
Well, before we have to break in just a minute, but let me ask you both on the issue of the specialized high schools. Now, the Bronx High School of Science, Stuyvesant, Brooklyn Tech, number of other specialized high schools are public high schools, among the best in the country. They're elite schools, and there have been some complaints from some black parents, some Hispanic parents, that almost the entire student body in these schools is Asian.
Yeah.
And there's been calls to do away with the specialized high school examination. And people that are graduates of these schools, including our owner, John Catsimatidis, they've pushed back and saying the solution is really not to do away with the test. What's your take on that?
Some people say the tests are biased. You know, I had friends that graduated from Brooklyn Tech and Stuyvesant. I went to Bishop Lachlan High School, so I went to a private school. But a lot of people say I took the test to get into these schools, and some I passed, and some I just wasn't comfortable with going to, like, because I have to get up so early and like 4 o'clock in the morning to get up to the Bronx. So
yeah,
I wouldn't do that.
Nothing like being up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Judge, any thoughts on the controversy over the specialized high school admissions?
No, I'm a person who believes in equality. The person that deserves to go to those schools should be the ones that get in.
Yeah. 800-848-WABC. Judge Herb Dodell is here. Sherrod Small is here. We'll continue with your calls next. This is The Other Side of Midnight. Straight ahead.
The power of information at your fingertips. Download the 77 WABC mobile app now.
Nothing is certain right now, and New Yorkers are once again looking for stability and peace of mind. People most at risk today include thousands still suffering from the 9/11 cleanup. Since 9/11, first responders, workers, residents, and students have continued to suffer with cancer due to toxic conditions near Ground Zero. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you were near Ground Zero in Lower Manhattan between September 11, 2001 and May 30, 2002, you may be entitled to financial compensation from the government's September 11th Victim Compensation Fund. New York attorney Noah Kishlevsky and the law firm of Kreindler & Kreindler has been there helping since the beginning. The VCF team at Kreindler & Kreindler continues to work on claims every day. Visit 911cancerinfo.com. Call 888-246-4799. 911cancerinfo.com. Call 888-246-4799. Visit 911cancerinfo.com.
This Saturday at 5 p.m., it's Threads. With the voice of fashion for over 30 years, Joseph Abboud.
What are the new trends? Not what are the new fads. What are the new trends? Because men buy clothes differently than women.
And it's more than just talking about fashion.
Great information, how to wear your clothes, how to buy your clothes.
Joe talks to the legends of 7th Avenue to get you behind the scenes and seams. Threads with legendary designer Joseph Abboud.
Style is forever.
Every Saturday at 5 p.m., right before Cousin Brucey on 77 WABC. The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano, 77 WABC.
Welcome This is The Other Side of Midnight. I'm Frank Moreno, joined for the hour by Judge Herb Dodell. He is a retired California Superior Court judge, also the host of the radio show For the People, which airs out there in California, and the author of the book From the Trench to the Bench, Navigating the Legal System and Finding Your Spiritual Path Along the Way, available wherever books are sold. And Sherrod Small, a stand-up comic and the host of the podcast Race Wars. Sherrod, if people want to come see you, are you performing anywhere anytime soon?
Yes, I'll be at the Comedy Cellar all week at the Stand Comedy Club on East 16th Street. And plus, I'm producing shows, More World Comedy. We started producing shows every Thursday, so on the 24th. 8 p.m. at the New City Winery.
So you pick the comics? Is that how that works?
Yeah, I book the comics. It's all hot comics in the city.
How have things been since the city reopened again and allowed comedy clubs to reopen?
It's been great. It's been packed. All the shows at the Comedy Cellar have been sold out since they started back up. And the Stand, they've been doing outdoor shows, indoor shows, upstairs and downstairs. The Comedy Cellar even changed one of the bars into another comedy room to, you know, the crowds in. So everybody's back. People are back and hungry for it.
And there's no mask mandate or anything.
There's no mask mandate. I think they might have, you might have to show your vaccination card or on your phone. But that's it.
And Judge, are you performing anywhere that people can come see you do stand up legal commentary?
Yes.
Not yet, but who knows?
We're just going to do something at New York Law School. Remember, Judge?
Yes, we were going to do a subject for another day.
Yes,
we were going to do a show together, basically a trial with a lawyer on both sides, and having the audience decide who wins or loses on various rulings, and I would explain the law.
Yes.
It didn't go because of the COVID thing.
Yeah, the pandemic got in the way of it, but I'm looking forward to doing that as well.
Yeah, that ruined a whole lot of fun plans for everybody. All right, before we get out of here, Judge, let me ask you about the issue of government leaks. Yesterday happened to be the anniversary of the Pentagon Papers. There's a lot of leaking controversies in that President Trump and his Department of Justice apparently were, according to some news outlets, a little too heavy-handed in how they were investigating leaks during his administration. Now, under the Biden administration, there's a whole investigation of how the news website or the news source ProPublica got all this tax information about the tax returns of the super wealthy. How far can the government go in terms of plugging these leaks?
Well, you have to first determine what the definition of a leak means. Certainly, the government has been, over the years, seeking to find out information about members of Congress or staff or whatever if it involved national security. Certainly, nobody could argue that that shouldn't be done. The problem is that we were bordering on basic authoritarianism. At this point, if you can investigate your enemies, your political enemies, that's not a good thing, because it becomes very selective and it becomes very targeted. And so I think at some point in time, either the Justice Department or the AG's office will do something about it, but I'm not so sure that they'll get anywhere, because as long as people are trying to beat the other guy, there's always going to be some kind of hanky-panky, and it's probably going to continue on. Ooh. Although now with the public disclosure, maybe a little bit less, while it's still a hot subject for the public.
Yes, it seems weird how they got the records from Apple. How can you just go get records from Apple? Can an ex-girlfriend do that for me, Judge? I'm concerned.
Probably could.
Wow.
Yeah, they're the most resourceful researchers out there. All right, that's about all the time we have. Judge Dodell, I want to thank you. I hope we can do this again in the future. I'll certainly be on the lookout for whenever you and Sherrod are doing anything together. You guys always have a nice repartee with one another.
We do.
Yes, thank you.
Well, thanks very much for having us. It was a very enjoyable hour of time.
Well, and whenever you're up for staying up late, you're always welcome. Sherrod, thank you as well. Best of luck with Race Wars. Now, you had Eric Adams on the Race Wars podcast.
Oh, yes, that's right. Yeah, he was great. Yeah, and he's running for mayor, so I'm pulling for him. Let's see.
Did you vote yet?
I didn't vote
yet.
Early voting started Saturday. Yeah, I didn't start yet. I'm a vote up.
That's how upset you are about the ranked choice voting. You won't even vote.
It's like March Madness. I don't know how many teams to pick.
check him out. Sherrod Small. all performing and producing
all over
the city. His website is smallworldcomedy.com.
Yes.
You visit that website, a whole world opens up. Smallworldcomedy.com. Thank you very much as
Thank
well.
Thank you, Frank.
All right, coming up next hour, we'll take your calls on any subject. You know what we're going to do? We're going to do commendations. We usually do commendations in the 3 o'clock hour on Mondays, but because we have these two esteemed gentlemen here, we're going to do that next, and we'll tell you who deserves a pat on the back, and some of the answers may surprise you, and I'll tell you what I spent my weekend doing, if you care to hear about it. 800-848-WABC. We're on Facebook as well, facebook.com/MoranoFan. Want to encourage you, especially if you are not totally mean-spirited, to join our Facebook group. Just go on Facebook and type Morano Radio Fans and Haters, MORANO Radio Fans and Haters. This is a week where the haters were winning. I must tell you, the stuff that's been coming out of the Facebook group this week, I mean, I want to leave it. So you can check it out. And if you're nice, don't hesitate to answer the haters back. Until next hour, keep your knees loose and your glove well oiled.
1071 WLIR-FM Hampton Bays and 77 WABC New York.